will understand the expectations with you birth us and call us into this earth. We'll understand the inheritance that you've invested in us, your people, and the power that you have given unto us to live, operate, move, and have our being in, Father. Now, Father, we ask you, through by your Spirit, that you would teach a lesson, Father. Sow seeds through me, Father, that would fall upon good ground and produce fruits in the ears of the hearers, Father, and in their lives that would abound unto your kingdom and that would abound unto their glory. And we give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. Thank God for everybody being out on this morning. Amen. It's a wonderful morning. Give God for how good he is unto us. And we've been studying over peace. For the last couple of weeks, though, we've had to got away from it, dealing with some things for the new year. But I'm going to get back to that today, and we're going to move a little further into the revelation of our peace, our wholeness in Christ, our wholeness in God. Amen. If you got your Bibles, grab them, and we're going to start out this morning, Isaiah 53rd chapter, Isaiah chapter number 53. I'm excited about this year. I'm excited about the glory of God. I'm excited about the moves of God and the things that God has already begun to do in this year. And I mean, this is an exciting time, an exciting year, especially for the God's people. Now, it's going to be a sad, trying year for people out in the world. But although the Bible says, although we're in this world, we're not of it. Amen. So we are the kingdom of God. And although there may be darkness down in Egypt, but the Bible says there was light down in Goshen where God's people were. So we're going to dwell in the light. We're going to dwell in the kingdom of God, not out in the darkness in the world. Now, there is going to be a gross darkness that's going to come up on the earth, but that's okay. Because in order for a person to find whether to see the light, they have to, if a person's in darkness, they have to have a light to see, and we're supposed to be that light in this earth. So God is calling for us to shine bright. The darker it gets in the world, the brighter it's going to get in the kingdom of God, meaning the more glory that the world will see. And part of that glory is dealing with your peace. A big part of that glory is dealing with your peace. Amen. For you don't have true glory in your life if you don't have the peace of God operating in your life. So that's what the world is really looking for, peace. They're needing to see peace. And the only way that they're going to see God's peace is through you and I. So if you got your Bible, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 53, and let's start there this morning. And we'll work our way down through the information that God has given for us today. And pray the Holy Spirit gives you something that you can hear. Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 5 says, "But he was wounded for our transgression; he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed." The Amplified Bible for that verse of Scripture says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions; he was bruised for our guilt and our iniquities. The chastisement," now notice this phrase, "the chastisement needful to obtain our peace, or the punishment that was necessary for you and I to walk and live in peace and well-being was upon him, and with his stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole." So Jesus already paid the price, already has shouldered the burden or the penalty necessary that was required, that sin demanded for us to live in this peace, in this wholeness, in this shalom. Amen. So we have a right through what Jesus has done for us to walk and live in peace. Now, anything that's already paid for means you don't have to pay for it again. If someone says, "I'm going to take you out to dinner," and they sat down at the table and you ate and you had a good meal, and when the bill came, they says, "Okay, I'm going to take care of that," and they pay the bill, well, you don't sneak back in the back door and go back in and say, "Well, I want to pay my part of the bill anyway." You don't do that. You say thank you, and you go on and you enjoy that meal that was bought for you. Well, in the body of Christ, there are certain provisions that Jesus has already paid for and delivered into our hands. And one of those provisions is peace. One of the pieces to your covenant that God has made that we have with through Jesus is peace. A piece of that, a part of that is peace. And Jesus here says that he's paid the price for it. So that means it is no longer something that you have to try to obtain on your own. No, you walk in the peace that Jesus provided for us. All right. So now, The punishment. Now, we all saw the Passion of the Christ. Most of us, if you haven't, you need to get you a copy and look at it. the punishment that he endured, the punishment that he endured leading up to the cross, and the punishment that he endured on the cross is that punishment that it's talking about here that was needful for you to live and walk in peace. So now, every time the devil tries to come and bound something in your life or hold something from you, you ought to get godly angry. You ought to get furious with him and say, look here, no. You will not hold back something that I have a right to, something that belongs to me. And each and every one of us has a blood-bought covenant right to walk in this peace. And I refuse to let the devil keep me from something that I have a right to. Now, I bought it. It's mine. I paid for it. It's mine. Or, if I went to the store and bought a pair of shoes, well, you're not going to tell me I can't take that pair of shoes out the store. I paid for them. They're mine. Well, Jesus paid for the stuff for you. It's yours. But now you have to stand up and lay hold on what belongs to you. Now, as long as you decide that you're not going to stand up and fight for what's yours, you may not get it. Now, one thing that we need to understand is just because things have been bought for us and paid for us, does not automatically mean they show up in your life. There are many of people. Things have been bought. Things have been left for them. People have died and left inheritance and left estates. And people don't even know it exists. So those estates just sit in limbo somewhere, although someone has a right to all of that stuff. So just because it was left to them and they have a right to it doesn't mean they necessarily have it if they don't know they have a right to it or if they don't know it's available. So you have to know what your rights are and know that it's available to you. And when I find out what God has said for me, said to me and what is for me, I go after that. And I refuse to stop until I get it. Now, if peace is a part of my covenant, then I'm not going to rest until I see peace in every area of my life. Now, you can have peace in one area of your life and then the other area of your life just be out of control. I mean, a lot of God's people live that way. You have peace in, and most of God's people have peace when it comes to salvation. You don't have any problem worrying about if you're going to heaven or if you're saved. Most folks in the body of Christ don't struggle with that. Oh, but we come up to this area of sickness and disease, and we come up to this area of finances, and we come up to this area of deliverance, and it starts to get a little shaky. Well, the reason it's getting shaky is because you don't understand your right in that particular area. Because if you did, you would command peace to show up in that area just as it showed up in the area of your salvation as well. Now, how did you get so grounded and so rooted in salvation? You confessed it and you studied it and you meditated upon it long enough till you settled it in your heart that I'm saved. And there is no devil in hell that can convince me that I'm not. Well, the same way that you did that to establish that principle in your life, you have to do in every other area of your life. Amen. So you find out what God has said about your peace in areas of your life, and you go after it, amen, because it's been paid for you. Now, don't go back to heaven and get there and find out all this stuff belonged to you, and you just live like a bum on earth and get to heaven and figure out that you were supposed to be a king's kid the whole time. Now, that'd be sad. You live like a bum up underneath a bridge here up on this earth, begging, paycheck to paycheck and all just living harsh and hard. And then get to heaven and God say to you, daughter, son, I tried to give you a king's inheritance the whole time you were there, but you never would have received it. Every time I would show up and say this belongs to you, instead of you believing what I said, you would believe what the devil told you. You don't have a right to it. Or I'm not good enough to receive this yet. Well, how many of us was good enough to receive salvation? If you really stop and think about it, how good were you? How good did you have to be for Jesus to receive you as his own? See, when we get that principle down in our minds, get that concept settled, then we can solve all these other issues. Because I didn't deserve salvation. Didn't nobody deserve it. God said, I'm coming anyway. I'm coming anyway. Jesus says, I'm coming that you can have life and have it more abundantly anyway. I know you don't deserve it. That's the reason I got to show up, so I can put you in a position for you to be in a position to deserve it by making you righteous again. Amen. So now we have this peace. Now let's get into this morning. Go with me to St. John chapter 10. And let's look at this. Jesus says, I pay the price. Or the scriptures just said there that the price necessary, the punishment necessary for you to walk and live in peace, Jesus paid for you. Now, when Jesus showed up, on the scene, what did he say about that? Because, see, he knew that he paid the price for you to live in this peace. So what did he himself say about it? Well, look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that thou might have life and have it more abundantly. The Amplified Bible says the thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and to destroy. Now, notice something here. The thief's the devil. Now, what is his job? He says he comes only to do three things: steal, kill, and to destroy. In other words, to remove peace from you. Because peace means wholeness, completeness, soundness. So the thief comes to remove peace from you. Now, that's what we saw that happened in the garden. Adam and Eve lived in a continual, constant state of peace. When the devil showed up there, what did he show up to do? To remove peace from them. Because when they fell, they lost the peace that they had, that God had created for them to live in. They lost the peace that God had put in internally, because God's presence dwelt on the inside of them. So they were complete inwardly, and they were complete outwardly, because they lived in a perfect place. But the moment they sinned, they lost the peace inwardly, because spiritual death took over. And then a result of that sin and a result of that spiritual death, God had to remove them from the garden. So they lost their peace, because the thief comes only to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. He's not your friend, amen? But now notice what Jesus says. I came that they may have and enjoy life. Now Jesus says, I have come so that you can have, not only have, but enjoy life. Now, remember, it says that the punishment necessary for you to have peace, he's already shouldered for you. Now, the reason he shouldered for you, he said right here in his own words, so that you can have and enjoy life. Now, if you're not enjoying life, that means there's some peace missing somewhere. Because if you had peace in every area, you would be enjoying life. There wouldn't be a day that you wake up in the morning and hate getting out your bed. It would never be a day like that. There are no days like that in heaven. There's no sadness in heaven. There's no crying and no weeping in heaven. There's a continual state of joy. And the Bible says we're supposed to have days of heaven here on earth. So we're supposed to be enjoying life here. It says not only have and enjoy life, but it says, and have it abundance. Have it in abundance. Till it is full, till it overflows. Sounds like peace to me. So Jesus paid the price for it, and then he came and says, now I've showed up here, I'm going to pay the price for it, and I'm showing up so that you can see peace, so that you can understand how to live and enjoy life, and enjoy it so much to where it is so abundant, where your life and peace is flowing in such an abundance, it is filling your life up, and it is overflowing into the lives of other people. Now, we can't touch anybody else if our lives don't have the peace that we are flowing in it. If you're always sad, depressed, burdened down, sick, sad, and beat up, then you don't have peace. And the world can't see peace through you. But we're living in a day and time where God is desiring to show forth his glory. And see, the world cannot see what we call God's Shekinah. Now, we recognize it because we're the body of Christ. We ought to be able to recognize God's presence when it enters the room. We ought to be able to know what's happening, what's going on in an atmosphere charged by God's presence. But the world does not understand that. How does the world see and understand what God's glory looks like? When they see peace in your life. When they see your life flourishing. When they see your life abounding. When they see you enjoying life. When they see your life full and overflowing. Or in other words, when you go to work to your job, and you're making the same money the person next to you is making, but they can't figure out how to get their ends met, but you over here just enjoying life, and they figured out, why I got to drive this broke-down, busted car, and I make more money than you, but you seem to be driving and living good, and you're happy, your husband's happy, your wife's happy, your kid's happy, you look nice, you dress nice, I never see you sick, I never see... What do you have that I don't have? See, you have peace, and they don't. And God wants that to show so strongly in the lives of his people so that the world can see. The Bible says that the world can see our light and then run to God's glory that they see on us. But how many people are running to you? If no one is running to you, maybe they're not seeing anything. So that means maybe we need to adjust how we're living and start agreeing with the word of God. Now, we just sung a song that says, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Are you agreeing with God's word? Are you blessed beyond the curse? Now, do you believe that? Now, I believe that with everything in me. Don't, gonna, devil, you're not going to put that curse on me. And I'm not going to step out there underneath it. Because when I step out underneath the curse, then I'm getting ready to have something stolen from me. I'm getting ready to have something destroyed, or something's getting ready to die. And if those things are operating, then that means some peace is getting ready to leave. I'm getting ready to lose out on some peace. And I'm not losing out on any peace. I'm coming into more peace, more abundantly peace, till it is full, till it overflows. Now, look what Jesus, look what the word of God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Bless God, I thank God for his peace. I thank God for peace. And you know what I thank God about it? I don't have to earn it. That's what makes it so good. You don't have to earn it. See, the world wants you to earn their peace, and then their peace is temporary. But I don't have to come over here and earn nothing. Jesus has already done it for me. All I have to do is say, yes, Lord. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, let's read verse number 9. Verse number 9 says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you might, through his poverty, might be rich. Now, the Amplified Bible says, for you are becoming progressively acquainted with, and you are recognizing more strongly and clearly the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's that word grace, his kindness, his gracious generosity, his undeserved favor and spiritual blessing. So are you becoming constantly and progressively acquainted with this kindness, this undeserved favor, and this spiritual, don't notice it said a spiritual blessing or a spiritual empowerment. In that though he was so very rich, now Jesus was so very rich, yet for your sake, not for his, for your sake, he became so very poor. In order that by his poverty, you might become enriched and abundantly supplied. So what did he just say here? The more you begin to understand God's grace, his favor, has a lot to do with peace. Because it's something that you can't earn. Because you will never live good enough in your own effort to obtain what God has done for you through your own abilities. If you could have did it yourself in the first place, then Jesus would have never came. There would have been no need for it. So obviously it's something that we can't do on our own, or God wouldn't have had to send his son. But he did. And the Bible says that he was very, very rich, or in other words, he had peace in every area. There was nothing missing in Jesus' life. There was nothing broken. You never saw in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John where Jesus was sick. Never saw it. You never saw where he was dominated and controlled by grief and sadness. Now, he got sad because he wept at Lazarus' tomb, but it didn't control him. You never saw where he was impoverished, broke. Broke people don't need a treasurer. I don't need to have me an accountant to take care of $5. I know how to do that myself. He had a treasurer, and then the treasurer was stealing, and it still didn't affect the ministry. You got to stop and think about it. Jesus had 12 full-time staff members that he took care of. That does not include the other 180 that he sent out, that he, there was part-time staff folks that he had to take care of. How do you know he had to take care of them? Because he says, don't take a purse with you. Jesus was taking care of, this was his ministry. The man had plenty of money. And if he came into a situation where he didn't have enough, Peter, go fishing. Catch a fish. And when the first one you catch, get the money out and handle the business. He had peace. Let's cross the river. Let's go to the other side. Storm come up. Everybody's falling apart. Jesus sleep. Why? I have peace. There's nothing that can affect me. Now remember, in the garden, what did we see? We saw that the way God designed for men and women to live in peace. Now you got to go back and look at Adam and Eve. Peace was put into them. God's peace was in them for them to control every circumstance of their life through peace. everything that came up in your life through the peace of God that operated in Adam and Eve, they could control it. Because God said, have dominion over everything. So now, you see, Jesus walked in that. And the Bible says he was so very rich. But for our sake, he gave up all that peace and went to poverty. Now, he didn't do it for just to have something to do or just to look good. He said, and through him becoming impoverished, we might become rich or live in this completeness, this wholeness, being abundantly supplied. Now, if I'm abundantly supplied, that means I'm not lacking nothing, absolutely nothing. And it's done through his favor that you didn't deserve, that he gave freely. It's done through his favor. And notice, his spiritual blessing or empowerment. His spiritual blessing or empowerment. Now, notice something here. The word of God says over in Ephesians, the first chapter, that we have already been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So the word all means all. If I have all, then how much is left after the all? None. So that means heaven has given unto me everything that I need. I'm not lacking anything. There is nothing, no good thing has God withheld from me. Jesus says that I became poor so that you can be abundantly supplied. And through that abundant supply, you have everything that heaven has to offer. Heaven has completely emptied itself out into God's people, into the believer. Now, your job is to go in there, take what heaven has given to you, and live in it. What did Adam have to do to live in peace? Just flow with God. That's it. God created him to live in peace. God created him with peace. God made the man whole inwardly. I mean, he had the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of him. And there is absolutely nothing missing or broken in God. So there was absolutely nothing missing and broken in Adam. Now, how did the devil convince Adam and Eve to commit that sin? By convincing them through a lie that they were missing something. But they were whole. They already had everything. But the devil creeped in there and convinced them that something was missing. And that's the exact same thing that he's doing in 2006 to God's people, constantly trying to show them what's missing. And because you don't know your rights and because you don't know the word, you agree. And the moment you agree with the devil, he steals the very thing that he told you was missing. You know how it gets stolen? Because you won't fight for it anymore. You won't stand up and confess for it anymore. You won't believe for that thing anymore. The moment the doctor tells you that you have an incurable disease, cancer has taken over your body, fear grips you, the devil convinces you that God doesn't love you anymore, and you're going to die. Now, if at that moment you don't stand up in your right, it's assured you will die. Although you have peace. And part of that peace says, by his stripes I am healed and made whole. Now don't tell me that you cannot be healed from cancer, or that you cannot be healed from AIDS, or that you cannot be healed from a common cold, or whatever it may be. Don't tell me it can't happen, because the Bible says that for the stripes that went on Jesus' back, you are healed and made whole. Now we saw how they beat that man's back open. We saw how they laid his flesh. We saw the chunks come off that man's back. You saw that. Now, you mean to tell me, devil, that every time that whip hit the back of Jesus, that it didn't have the power to heal me? That's a lie. And when sickness and disease try to attack my body, you know what I tell the devil real quick? Every piece of flesh that whip with that cat of nine tails ripped off his back paid for me to be healed. And I'll be done if I'm going to lay up under this sickness and disease. You will not shove that down my throat. You will not put that on me, because I have peace in that area. Now, the exact same way that you take I take a stance like that, I take a stance in my money. Don't gun it, devil, I'm not broke. And you will never hear me say I'm broke. You know why? Because when I start saying I'm broke, I'm going against my peace. And I'm not going against my peace, because peace says I'm abundantly supplied. See, I'm supposed to be living and enjoying life. I'm not getting up out of my bed every morning sad and depressed, gun it. And you are not either. Now, who's in control? Are you in control, or is the devil in control? Now, if the devil's in control, then you don't have any peace. But I'm in control of this, and I'm living my life in agreement with what Jesus has said. And as long as I stay in agreement with what Jesus has said, I know I'm going to have a life full of peace. Amen. Now, so we see that heaven has emptied itself out. We've received all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now, that word places over there in the Greek means things. And when you trace the word things out and really study it out, it means things mean words. Words equal things, and things come from words. So you can say that I've been blessed with all spiritual blessings when I speak heavenly words in Christ. See, there is no peace when I'm speaking worldly words. I'm not going to get it, because there's no peace in the world. So you can't speak the world's language and get peace, because it doesn't dwell there. If I'm going to walk in peace, I got to speak God's language. Because remember, as long as Adam agreed with God and Eve agreed with God, they lived in peace. The moment they took and received Satan's words and Eve spoke what Satan said and agreed with the devil, then what happened? They lost their peace. So I cannot live in all that heaven has given unto me if I'm not going to agree and speak what heaven has spoken. Got to. It works that way. All right? Now, 2 Peter, the first chapter. Says this. 2 Peter chapter number 1. And it says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Now notice what it just says. We have already received. It didn't say that we will. It didn't say that we might. It says, according to his divine power, has given. It didn't say will give. It says has given unto us all things. There's that word all again. If I've already received all things, then how much is left? None. So I've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. So that means I got every necessary resource on the inside of me to live and enjoy life physically, and then to live and enjoy life spiritually. Because I have everything that's been given. Heaven has dumped out everything in my life that pertains to living life physically and living life spiritually, godliness. So what are you missing? Nothing. You have wholeness. In other words, what Jesus did for you and I was place us back the way God intended for us to live in the first place. We have the ability right now in 2006 to live like Adam and Eve lived before they fell. I mean, that's a lot. Because Adam and Eve, God told them, go over and read it, have dominion over everything. Everything. And there's a little phrase in there that we kind of skip over all the time where it says, all the earth. The Bible says, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over all the fish of the sea, over all the fowls of the air, over all the cattle. But then it puts a little phrase in there, and over all the earth and over everything that creeps upon the earth. That all the earth would mean have dominion over all the systems of this world. All of them. So there is not a system in this world that should have you dominated. You should be dominating it. Feel your peace. That's how Adam and Eve lived. They lived that way. They controlled everything down here. This was the kingdom that God put here for them to rule. And they ran it until they decided to say something different than what God told them to say. Same thing is true. You know, I don't know how many of you, well, all of us work. I mean, if you go to work, you work for some company. Well, you can't go up in there and make up your own vision, make up your own plan. Especially if you answer the phones and someone call in and they say, well, you know, what, you know, we have this concern and this is going on. Well, you just can't just make up your own policy and say, you know what, well, you know what, this is what the company says, but you know, I don't agree with that. That ain't right. We're going to do it this way. You can get fired. Well, that's the same thing with Adam and Eve did. They got fired. Why? They changed the policy. Now, when are we going to learn from their mistake? Quit changing the policy. Stick to what it says in the book. It works. Now it says, we've received all things that pertain to life and godliness. And now notice, it's through the knowledge of him that has called us into glory and virtue. What do you know? Do you understand what Jesus has done for you? Do you understand what Christ has provided for you? Do you understand who you are in Christ and who Christ is in you? Now, that is an area that all of us could spend a lot of more time developing in. Because the more of him I understand, the more of the kingdom I understand, the more of peace operates in my life. Now, before you know that you have a right to a certain thing, you don't really, you know, you don't study it, you don't pay attention to it. But the moment you find out that that belongs to you, you get busy about that, don't you? Now, before I knew that I had a right not to be sick, I was sick all the time. But when I got into the Word, I said, done good, I don't have to be sick. And now when the devil tries to come up on me with sickness and disease, I fight the good fight of faith. Now, before I figured out that I didn't have to be broke, I was broke. Couldn't make ends meet. But when I found out in the Word that Jesus has said that I don't have to be broke, oh, we throw away that poverty mentality real quick. Let's get rid of that, because that's affecting my peace. Now, I don't have peace if I don't have it all. And I want it all, because the Bible says I've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, it's through the knowledge of him. You've got to go with Jesus. You can't get away from Jesus and expect to live in peace. It will not work. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great precious promises, that through that ye might be partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. Now notice something here. It says that this all these things that we've received, all this peace that we've received, has been given to us in the form of a great and precious promise. There is a promise in the Word of God that covers every area of your life, every area. Every area, I don't care what it is, every area in your life, there is something in this book that will cover that. Now, every promise that God has given to you, you have in seed form. You have it in seed form. Because the Bible says the Word of God is the incorruptible seed which liveth and abideth forever. So everything that you need for life and godliness, you have it in seed form. What do you do with a seed? You sow it. Now, until you get to the point where you're deciding that I'm going to sow the Word of God into my life, then peace can't grow, although it's supposed to be there. But the moment I find in the Word of God a promise that Jesus says belongs to me, and I sow that, how do you sow it? I read it. I confess it. I read it. I confess it. I read it. I confess it. Then I act on it, and I read it, and I act on it, and I confess it. What am I doing? I'm planting that seed in my heart, and I'm watering that seed in my heart, and that seed has to do what? Grow. Because God says incorruptible seed. It will live, it will abide forever, amen? So I've received the promises. Now, through me receiving these promises, it says that I can partake of the divine nature. Whose nature are we talking about here? God's nature. Well, a part of God's nature is peace. There's nothing missing and broken in God. Nothing. God's perfect. Man's supposed to be perfect. They were created perfect. And now that you're born again, see, this is what we miss. When you get born again, how can I say this? We're human beings on the face of this earth are so fleshly minded that they miss the very thing that happens when you get born again. Because the moment you get born again, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, I believe it is 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God. So what I'm saying here is this. This outer man and your mind or your soul, they may still have contamination in them when you get saved. But see, God's not dealing with your flesh and your soul at that point. When you get born again, your spirit is created perfect. Perfect. How do I know that that's true? Because when you get born again, the same way Adam was created and brought into existence, is the exact same way that you were brought into existence by the word of God. And the same way the Spirit of God dwelled in Adam, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, let's come to something that we can all agree upon. Maybe you don't agree up on that point. Let's look at this. The Bible says, talking about Jesus, as Jesus is, over in 1 John, it says this, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. Now, what made Jesus the Son of God? You know, what qualified him to be the Son of God? Well, we saw it. He was baptized, and the Bible says that the Spirit descended on him as like a dove, and God opened up the heavens and said, "This is my well-beloved Son, who I'm well pleased." So, the baptism was a baptism unto repentance. The descending of the dove was a representation of him being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, when you got born again, and you were saved, the exact same thing happened to you. God's Spirit dwells in Jesus. God's Spirit dwelled in Adam. God's Spirit dwells in you. So if God's Spirit is dwelling on the inside of you, then you have the Spirit of peace on the inside. So your spirit is whole. Your spirit is complete. Your spirit is not sick. Your spirit is not sad. Your spirit is not depressed. Your spirit is full of love. Your spirit is full of joy. Your spirit is full of happiness. Your spirit is full. Matter of fact, hold your place right here in 1st, 2nd Peter. Go over to Galatians. Let me show you what your spirit is full of. Galatians chapter number here, 5. Galatians chapter number 5. Now let me read verse 22 from you from the Amplified Bible. It says, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which his presence, the work which whose presence? The Holy Spirit. So the work which the Holy Spirit's presence accomplishes within you, now here's the work, is love, is joy, is peace, is patience and temperance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All those things is what the Holy Spirit has done on the inside of you and I. Now, part of that, what we just read there was what? Peace. So part of the work that God's presence on the inside of you through his Spirit does in your life is produces peace. So don't tell me that you're not full of peace on the inside. Now, you need to take what's in your spirit, because the Word of God also says this, that you take the Word of God, which has been engrafted or implanted in your spirit. You take that and you save your soul with it by renewing your mind to what's going on in your spirit. Get your spirit and your mind in agreement. Your body just falls in line. And the outer show for that would be the glory of God, your peace. It will show up. So now, I've received all precious promises so that I can be a partaker of the divine nature, God's divine nature. When that happens, notice it says here, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Anything that gets corrupt loses its potency. It's contaminated. So it's not as strong as it needs to be. So that means it's not whole anymore, right? So the Bible says, through me taking the promises, acting on the promises, I activate or I energize that divine nature on the inside of me, which puts me in a position for there to be no contamination in my life, meaning there's wholeness in every area. See, I escape corruption that tries to come up on me through lust. That word lust there is intense pressure. Pressures. Now, when you go back over and you look in the story of Adam and Eve, how did they lose their peace? Pressure. What are the pressures? Satan has not deviated one bit from what he did in Genesis. When you read in the book of Genesis, Eve said, the Bible says that Eve looked at that tree, and it looked like it was good for eating. She looked at that tree, the fruit looked good. And it had, she said, it looked like it desired to make one wise. What just happened? It's called the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Those are the three things that Satan used and robbed Eve and Adam of their peace. And he's using the exact same three today. Pressure, lust, pressure. The pressure applied to what you see, pressure applied to your flesh, pressure applied to the area of pride in your life. Same three. And the sad thing about it is, it's robbing you of your peace. And you don't even realize it. Oh, man, that brother sure look good. Woo! Smell good. Dress good. He's the right one for me. Lust of the eye. You marry that joker. And now you're living in purity hell. What happened? You just lost some peace. Because you went and fell up underneath the pressure of what you saw. And then what you saw put pressure on your flesh. Now you got, I just got to have him. Let me test the waters. So you get ready to lose some peace. And it ain't just for women. Men go through the exact same thing. And it ain't just in the area of sex and relationship. You go through it when you know you should be taking that money and tithe. You know that's God's 10%. And you go right on down there and buy you a pair of shoes or a suit. You know God says sow that seed. You know you heard him very clear when he said it. Come on, we heard God. You know you heard him. And you took the seed money and went to McDonald's because you was hungry. See, the same pressures are being applied today. But we don't recognize them because we're too caught up in these natural worldly affairs and the devil's just robbing you of your peace. But when I take the precious promise and I get wrapped up, tied up in what God has said about me, I begin to escape those kind of contaminants. That pressure doesn't apply to me anymore because I've taken myself out of the position to be pressured. Pressure's only pressure when you want it. Because James says, God tempts no man. Everybody's drawn away by their own lust. Stuff's going on inside of you. So you either there's still a desire or an appetite for the thing there. That's the reason you're being pressured with it. You get rid of the appetite for it, it does not pressure you anymore. He said, that is not true. Come on, people. You look at a man before I got saved, I love me some rap music. Tupac, Ice Cube, it was my boys. Couldn't go nowhere without them. Loved it. I got saved. God took that away. I'm not pressured with rap music anymore. Now, that's something simple. But we can go into many areas of our lives. There are just certain appetites that I used to have, I don't have anymore. Because I've taken the word and I've flushed that crap out of there. So there is no pressure in that area anymore. Now, then there are areas that I have to still work on. But I'm going to that perfection. And bless God, I'll get that out of there the same way I got the rest of the junk out of there. But I'll refuse to submit to the temptations. Because I know the moment I let pressure rule, I'm getting ready to lose some peace. And peace is too valuable to me. See, because the thing that the devil tricks a lot of people on, the very thing you compromise with. Now, this is how it usually works. You're compromising the area because that area is tight right now. There's no problems going on in that area. Matter of fact, let's just use this. You know, you got good favor on your job. You know, they like you. You're getting your bonuses. You're getting your raises, and they promote you. I mean, you're doing really good on your job. So then the devil comes, put pressure there. You know, you got good favor at your job. They won't get mad if you call in today. So you call in. Because you tighten that area. Nothing's going on. Then, you know, call in another day. They still smiling and agreeing with you on your job. Call in another day. See, this is the pressure being applied to you. Now, I'm showing you how it works. But, see, you're not paying attention because you assume in the natural that you're fine in that area. But that pressure is robbing you of the peace in that area. Because while they're smiling at you behind closed door, they say, you know what, she's not as dependable as she used to be. He's not as dependable as he used to be. But they're not telling you that. Then you show up in there one day and you got a pink slip. Well, what happened? You was robbed of your peace in that area through a pressure that you didn't even recognize what was going on. And that's what happens in every area of your life. Satan just doesn't show up and say, I'm going to rob you today. Here I am. I'm getting ready to get it. No, he does it slowly. He does it through subtlety. And if you're not paying attention, because if you're not looking, if you're not living in the light and walking in the light, you won't see him when he comes. All right? So through the great and precious promises, I escape all the corruption. There will be no contaminants in my life. That means my peace is intact. All right? Now, let's move a little further here. Psalms 85. Psalms chapter 85 says this. Let's look at verse 8. Verse 8.